direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So very grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And we're studying this section in John chapter 16 where Jesus is dealing with the world's hatred. And he says here in chapter 15, verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now, this has been a moving section because what Jesus was essentially doing was explaining for the disciples what they could expect as followers of him. And this is really important this morning because there are many false conceptions about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Some think that if they follow Jesus, everything will be great. And they've come to Christianity, they've come to Christ in false pretenses. In other words, somebody told them the health and wealth message and that Jesus promises life and prosperity and earthly happiness. What happens then when people suffer? You see, Jesus explained that in the parable of the sower, that there are many who follow Jesus until the tribulations, until the persecutions of this world happen, and then they drop Christianity. Jesus is saying all of this in chapter 16, verse 1, "These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." So he's preparing them for what they can expect as followers, and that's really important. He doesn't want us to have false ideas about what following him is. A false teacher tells you that everything's great, you're going to be happy, nothing's ever going to be wrong, everything's great, Lord promises you earthly wealth, prosperity, and happiness. Jesus is saying, contrary to all that, you're going to suffer. There's going to be severe persecution at times. Ultimately, it's because there's a great enmity between the world and me. That's what Jesus is saying. The world hates me, and because you're joined to me, therefore the world hates you. Jesus says, "I've chosen you out of the world, therefore that's why the world hates you." Now, here's what he says. "They persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also." But, verse 24, "they hated him and his father." And then verse 25, "all of this happened that it might be fulfilled in their law." And then he quotes a psalm. Now, do you see the problem? You're hated by the world because you belong to me. And everything I went through, you will face. They persecuted me. They heard me. They hated me. It was all in their scriptures. Who's the world here? He's speaking of the Jews. It was the Jews that persecuted him. Sure, the world in general persecutes the church, and that's the primary and good application, isn't it? But Jesus here in this context includes a subset of the world that the greatest enemy that we often face is from the inside. In fact, if you read carefully verse 21, "but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." You know, what a tragedy, isn't it? The religious people of his day did not know the Father. That means that the many who persecuted Jesus, who had the law, who were circumcised, who went to the synagogue, by their persecuting of Christ, everything they did showed that they were worshiping a mere phantom and not the true God of the Bible. Listen, if you were to go through all the church history books, the most grievous persecution the righteous suffered was by the hands of the church itself and religious people. Who were Christ's persecutors? This is something that we have to constantly be aware of. The disciples got a taste of this. Remember what happened in John 9? Jesus healed a blind man, brand new to the faith, and this man didn't know much, did he? Didn't have the law down, didn't understand a lot. And where did the persecution come from? It wasn't the Romans. The Jews took him, ridiculed him, and excommunicated him from the church. It's absolutely true that brand new Christians face their most opposition from so-called Christian people, more from Christian people than they do from the world, who, when the world hears about their Christianity, they have a general happiness for them and they want to learn something about it. But who gets bothered? Listen, what threatens the community of faith today the most? What is the greatest threat to the community of faith? I'll tell you what it is. It's someone brand new to it that has a fire for the truth, that actually holds to what the Bible says. Place a person like that in the midst of a city of compromising Christians where everything under the sun is tolerated, you've got somebody who's going to be greatly disliked. Martin Lloyd-Jones is absolutely correct when he says that formal Christianity is often the greatest enemy of the pure faith. Now, think of the dilemma here, you know. I live in Linden. I love Linden. It's a town that's outwardly beautiful. Outward righteousness is correct. I mean, you know, we're prim and proper and lawns are cut and everything is nice. But think about what Jesus is saying if we could apply it to this context. What is it that ultimately makes the Christian so hated? I believe one of the greatest failures of the church today is in understanding what produces this hatred. It's probably most helpful to begin with what it's not. In other words, there are many things that Christians think they're suffering the cause of Christ for, and it has resulted in hatred from people. And they've convinced themselves that they have taken up the cause of Christ, but in all actuality, it has nothing of the design Christ is speaking of here. Many Christians bring all sorts of suffering upon themselves that are simply the result of just being difficult people. I've seen a good deal of this where I live. When you get some radical viewpoint and they run with it, thinking they are maintaining the cause of Christ when they've become a cause to themselves, and they've done nothing but splinter and divide the church with it. Jesus spoke about the blessedness of being persecuted, but he did not say, "Blessed are those who are fanatical." How about this? "Blessed are those who are the last man standing in their cause." This is what I've always warned about being a one or two issue oriented people. The Apostle Paul called people like this obsessed with disputes over words. They run with it. They're the last man standing on that issue. They have a pride-driven martyr complex. They've shown themselves to be the, quote, last apostles of Christ, end quote, the last remnant of the only true church, the only true elect with the only true doctrine because of this little particular issue. They're the last 7,000 who have not bowed down the knee to Baal. And everyone else in the Christian world, ironically, hasn't really understood their viewpoint. But that's okay. They're the only elect. They're the only true ones. And a whole martyr complex has overcome them as they stand on this issue. These people are nothing but nuisances in the Christian world. And what are the fruits of it? The fruits of it are seen in this: nothing but fighting, nothing but arguments, nothing but disputes, nothing but contentions, nothing but hatred, jealousies, divisions, outbursts of wrath. Listen, none of that sort of fanaticism is commended in the scriptures. That is not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. In fact, the scriptures warn against that. 1 Peter 4, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Hear the danger there? You as a Christian could face a lot of suffering because you are murdering in your heart and the anger's eating you alive. You could suffer in your life because you are stealing, you are doing evil, or even this one, you're a busybody in other people's matters and the whole thing is blown up on you. Strangely enough, people will think that through their disobedience, they're maintaining the cause of Christ. That is not suffering for Christ. So we come back to the same basic question. What is it about the Christian that is hated by the world? What is the real cause? Remember what Christ said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Why does someone get legitimately hated by the world? Jesus gives the single great answer to that. It's because of righteousness' sake. So when he says in verse 29 that he chose us out of the world, the purpose of that choosing is exactly what the apostle realized in Ephesians 1, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless before him in love. Now that gets to the heart of it. What did Jesus say back in chapter 13 is the single great mark that we belong to him? By this, all men will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. He's just said it again. Love one another. Love one another. He says it twice in this section. Why? Because the world has no idea of what that is. The principle the world operates on is that of darkness. Now, the world does respond to its values and its behavior. When the world sees Christians fighting and disputing and nothing but sectarian behavior, it recognizes that. It observes that carefully. And that kind of behavior becomes the opportunity to say, see, they claim to be different from us, but they're not. Look how miserable they are. Look how they fight. Look how they behave. And then you take the kooky martyrs who refuse to submit to governing authorities or who become a law to themselves, who call themselves Christians, all of it becomes an opportunity for scorn. But take a group that is actually doing what Christ here commands. You have something they don't know what to do with. You see? What in the world would make the world hate a group of people who are committed to love them, to be in their best interest, to tell them of the way of life? See, that's where the text turns. What does Christ say in verse 20? Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. This is the thought I want to leave you with today. What got Christ persecuted? Why was Christ hated? There was something about him. When the people came in contact with him, all of their righteousness was taken away. I'm going to come back to that thought. Christ is the only path. Christ is the only way, and it's his righteousness by which a sinner is saved. May we all come to him by faith alone. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church of Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.